When you find your why, you find your voice. You find what lights you up. You find what makes you feel at home. And then you put that into action and make a career out of it and let it allow you to spread good in the world. And then there's no stage that can scare you. You have this unshakable confidence.
Hello and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Sally Lou Loveman is a first-time children's picture book author with her new book, Lively Lou Lovely Loves to Speak, based on her own story of finding her inner voice and the confidence to speak up at a young age. As the audience producer for The Oprah Show and founder of Love Speaks, Sally Lou has entertained over 500,000 people from The Oprah Show stage, as well as her Love Speaks platform. Today, Sally Lou coaches clients to speak without fear by connecting them to their power through exploring their story. Sally Lou knows all too well what it feels like to be young and scared to speak. She hopes her message will inspire young readers to listen to their inner voice so they can speak up and pursue their passion. Sally Lou is also the author of Speak, Love Your Story, Your Audience is Waiting, a teaching memoir that offers speaker tips to adult readers. Hi, Sally Lou. Welcome to Revolutionary Woman. How are you this afternoon?
Hi, Tess. I'm very well. I'm happy to be speaking with you.
Same here.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yep. The last time you were a guest on my show was in 2021. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
It's been a while. Yes. I looked it up.
5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm, five.
Yeah, it does. My gosh. And the last time we talked, we spoke about you growing up in the suburbs of Philly, how you wound up in Chicago,
yeah,
initially for a paid internship in 1984 at a PBS station in Chicago.
So I was applying for this internship in Chicago for television. And I was trying out for the musical Chicago,
right,
for the stage.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get both,
okay,
but I didn't get the musical. I got the internship.
Yes.
But what I think is so brilliant about the story, when I didn't get that role, mm-hmm, in the musical Chicago,
right,
I started exploring other things that had landed on our campus, and improv was one of those things. And I was terrified, but I did it.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that that improv class would help me,
mm-hmm,
on a stage in Chicago that I had no idea I was preparing for. And
that's
the Oprah Winfrey Show stage.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of a cool story.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 1987, that's when you joined the Oprah Winfrey Show and became the audience,
yeah,
producer for, holy cow,
Coordinator. Yeah.
I was the audience coordinator then.
Uh-huh. Because we were very small. We were like a team of like 15, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I became the audience producer much later in 2003, when it was now a full-blown, you know, enormous thing,
yeah,
that one could never even describe,
right,
the Oprah Winfrey Show. Like,
right,
yeah, it just took, you know, it was on another level.
Yeah.
But yeah, I interviewed for the show to be the audience coordinator in 1986 when the show went national.
Right.
So she came in 84 to take over the local and Chicago spot, the host.
Uh-huh.
And she took over that spot and she started beating, you know, just a local show. She started beating Phil Donahue.
Oh,
and
wow,
they realized, you know, the ABC,
yeah,
team were like, oh, we've got something special here. So
yeah,
then 2 years later, she had a nationally syndicated show,
mm-hmm,
the Oprah Winfrey Show. And that's when I threw my hat in the ring,
mm-hmm,
and I was still working at the PBS station that had been where I started for my internship.
Right.
And
yeah,
I interviewed with the executive producer and with Oprah, and it went so well. I thought, oh my God, I'm,
mm-hmm,
going to get this job.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then I didn't. I didn't get the job.
Wow.
And I was very disappointed. But a year later,
mm-hmm,
they called me,
mm-hmm,
and they said, hey, we need you. Would you,
yeah,
like to work for us? Or
something
as simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great message for everyone, including myself, because I have to say it over and over again to me, that even when the one thing you want the most in life,
mm-hmm,
doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that it's over.
Right.
It might not ever happen, but
yeah,
it might happen in a different way.
Right.
It might happen later.
Yeah.
And so when that door closes, I just say to myself, and I say to anyone listening, the only way it's forever is if you decide it's forever.
Right.
Like if you say, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah.
And you put that in the universe is just going to come back with you saying, okay, you're done. You told us you're done. You're done.
Right.
And it'll never happen. Yeah. So yeah, the show was on 25 years.
Yes.
So I started the year after they went national in 87.
Okay.
I left in 91.
91.
And
okay.
I freelanced from like 92, 93 probably to 2003.
Okay.
So I was raising my babies and I was freelancing, helping out on different shows and always there for a few weeks, then off for a month and there for a few weeks, then off for 3 months, you know, various things.
Right.
And that really worked for me. And then in 2003, I was really ready to go back to work full time. My baby was 4 and I was ready. And this audience producer job came up and, I was like, and they're like, you know, it's probably not what you want. I'm like, no, that's exactly what I want. I want to go back and be in the studio. And then we just, you know, the show had taken off and it was at such a level. So I had a team of like, sometimes up to 10 people because that's how busy we were.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, producing shows in the studio and then taking the show, you know, on remote locations.
Right.
And it was a full-time huge job that I absolutely loved every minute of it. I felt like forever, you know, I grew up there. I really found and discovered so much about myself. I grew a very, very, very large amount of thick skin. I started out just crying every day. And then I was like, okay, I see. These are all lessons. I can do this.
Yeah.
It helped me in everything I've done ever since.
Right.
Wasn't fun going through it because television's hard.
Yeah.
But the challenges that we faced every day as a team excited me because I love figuring out a solution to a challenge.
Wow.
And that's what we did every day, every day.
So when did you leave the Oprah show? And is that when you started Love Speaks?
Yeah, in early 2014, they were really kind and they kept me on after the show ended in 11.
Uh-huh.
And Oprah had just launched the Oprah Winfrey Network and she was, we were doing shows with audiences. We were doing shows with her. We were doing shows with other talent.
Right.
We did a show with Rosie O'Donnell that we were doing audience services for. And then I was put on the marketing team. I remember the executive producer saying, well, Sally Lou, it's just like what you do on the stage, you know, getting people connected to Oprah, connected to the show, connected to the network, connected to each other, but it's just online. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Okay. I could try that. And then I was like, I am not good at this. This isn't what I love. I want to be in a studio. I want to be in front of audiences. I want to, you know, be impacting people's hearts. So I realized, you know what? I was getting opportunities to speak in front of, for other brands. And I'm like, oh, this same thing works for other people. Oh, it's not just this show.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to try this myself. It wasn't the smoothest of exits. I had some personal stuff going on, but you know, it all worked out. And I feel it every day, like every time I'm with a small audience or a large audience, I just feel the sense that I am absolutely doing exactly what I was meant to do.
I love
so
it.
So it feels
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so Love Speaks. And then today you have a new project, your children's book, Livy Lou Lovely Loves to Speak. Okay, so how did this book come about?
Well, the book came about when I was 14 because the book is based on my story. And so when I wrote my book for adults called Speak, Love Your Story, Your Audience is Waiting.
Yes.
That was all, it was like a teaching memoir. So it's my stories, but helping people figure out their own story. And that's really what I do with my business. I help people get connected to their story so they can speak with more confidence in front of an audience, whether the audience is one person or hundreds of people.
Right.
And so I have always thought about this as, I can take that message and make it for kids because I have a story mm-hmm. that happened to me that is relatable mm-hmm. in some ways mm-hmm. and in many ways. And so when I was 14 years old, my mom invited me to a television show. It happened to be produced out of my hometown of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. It was called The Mike Douglas Show. It was one of the first TV talk shows. And, you know, I was 14. I could have said no. I wasn't the one banging on her door saying, take me to the show, because I didn't know about it, really.
Right.
And it was just one of those things that as soon as I entered the studio, mm-hmm. I felt at home. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what makes me light up. And I was a really shy kid. I mean, my nursery school teacher told my mom I would never make a friend because I was so painfully shy. Uh-huh. I was also really scared. Uh-huh. I was a really scared kid. Uh-huh. And in the Libby Lou book I made, the preschool teacher was a lot nicer than the one that I had. But, you know, I tweaked a few things, uh-huh. but it's based on my story. So basically, because I said yes to my mother's invitation, mm-hmm. I experienced something that I would have never experienced had I said no. Mm-hmm. And I actually could see what a television career could look like. Mm-hmm. And it's not like my mom was trying to, you know, take me somewhere to give me career ideas. Mm-hmm. We weren't even talking about that. Mm-hmm. It was just, it happened. Every one of my senses was like just loving it all, just taking it all in. And I saw a woman on the set, and it was 1976. So first of all, that was important. She's a woman, uh-huh. and she was wearing a headset. Right. She was carrying a clipboard. She was really busy. I'm like, I want to do that. I don't know what it is, but that's what I want to do. And that's what happened. I ended up that Mike Douglas Show ticket was my ticket to my career in television. I'm sitting at my desk and I'm looking at my beautiful photo with Oprah on the set with my headset around my neck, my clipboard in my hand, and my microphone and my credential. That says it all. Like it happened. And so the book, it's you see Libby Lou in three stages. Mm-hmm. You see her at first being super shy and young, mm-hmm. and you know, powering to anyone who might look at her, mm-hmm. and hanging on to her mom. And then you see her develop some confidence a few years later when her mom invites her to a TV show. Yeah. And then at the TV show, this young Libby Lou imagines herself doing the same thing. Right. And so then we have future Libby Lou. Yeah. And so when she sees herself, she feels that confidence because someone hands her a microphone, which happened to me when I was 25 at the Oprah show. Hmm. Someone hands her a microphone and says, warm up the audience. And she discovers that she doesn't need someone to tell her what to say or do. She's listening to her inner voice. And that then gives her the confidence.
I love that.
And so she goes back to her age, her age with confidence, and is able to stand up for others and stand up for herself, and then really explore the things that she loves to do, and her friends do it along with her. And so I hope that the story is following your passion, saying yes to new things, listening to your inner voice, and relying on your own voice, right. and knowing that your voice is very powerful. And I think, you know, with this noisy world that we live in, of all these voices coming at us, you know, especially young kids, they really have to have that guide to say, hey, your voice matters. Mm-hmm. Your part of the proceeds of this book goes to a foundation called Gracie Strong Foundation. And Gracie is a young, beautiful girl that lost her life to gunfire at a school. And met her father at the screening of a phenomenal film that everyone should watch called All the Empty Rooms. It just won an Oscar for best short film. Uh-huh. And I met Gracie's father, and I thought, because he was speaking at the screening, and I thought, oh, this man, he's so brave, and he's so, you know, like everything about him was so beautiful and crushing to the soul at the same time, you know, as a parent.
Right.
And something in me, I was like, oh, let me just Google and see what they're doing. And, you know, there were four other families saying that were featured, but I just sort of took to him because he was there, and I saw that they started this foundation in her honor called the Gracie Strong Foundation, and the very mission is to help young people use their voice. And I was let's support this with this book. So I feel really happy about that. And, you know, giving honor to a little young, beautiful soul that should absolutely be here on this earth right now.
Wow. Anyway. Oh, my gosh. Well, I love your book. I read it from cover to cover, and it's really so well done. And I love the message.
You.
I love the messages and,
you know,
definitely owning your voice and, you know, empowering yourself by listening to yourself and, you know, like, and hopefully projecting that on others so others can be inspired by it. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. I was reading it, and I'm like, I don't remember if I was ever confident when I was 14. I mean, it definitely got better as I got older, but I don't think I was ever that confident until maybe in my college, you know, early college.
And a lot of, a lot of confidence that you see in teen years is usually confidence that's not real, like a bully or someone that's showing off or someone that is just kind of masking the fact that they're scared too, because we're all scared. We're all figuring it out.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not like at 14, I just snapped into this confident person. It's just, I kind of went outside my comfort zone.
Right. Yeah.
It felt good to me. It felt like it was mine. No one in my family worked in television. I didn't know anyone that worked in television. And I was like, oh my God, this is so mine. This is mine. And I owned it. And like anything we own, you know, like whether it's a title or a degree, a home, whatever, a dog, like we feel proud of that. And that sense of ownership really, really helped me. So I really do believe that when you find your why, you find your voice, find your purpose, you find what lights you up, you find what makes you feel at home.
Right.
And then you put that into action and make a career out of it and let it allow you to spread good stuff in the world. And then there is no stage that can scare you. There is, you have this unshakable confidence. And it's not always all the time. We we know that, but it definitely serves as a way of building that confidence. And again, it's repetition. It's time. We have to say yes to things.
Right.
People are so scared to speak in public. It's one of the biggest fears people have, but I actually don't believe that people are scared to stand in front of an audience and speak. I believe people are scared to stand in front of themselves. And when we stand in front of ourselves and not worry about getting over the fear of speaking, but really getting over the resistance of really like owning who we are and why we are and what we love and what we don't and what we've accomplished and what we haven't and what our dreams are and what our challenges have been. That's when we really say, okay, I can stand in my shoes and be confident because I know who I am. And, and I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
And I would think, too, that it's the lived experiences that make you that way, correct?
Of course.
Who is your audience for this book? Who would you like it to be?
Kids, of course.
Yeah.
Second graders, they seem to be my sweet spot, but that that doesn't mean first graders. It's obviously, it's a picture book, so second graders are reading, but it's really, I would say ages 4 to 8, and it's actually even 10, like a lot of 10-year-olds that have experienced the book, they like to read it to, you know, another younger sibling or a younger cousin.
Yeah,
I've been going into schools and will continue to do so in the fall,
and I
bring clipboards for the kids, and then I have a little sheet that says, like, my name is, my favorite thing to do is, and then after I do the reading, I ask who wants to come up and tell us, because it's in front of their peers, their class, what your favorite thing to do is. And I have my little Libby Lou microphone, and it's a little prop.
I love
it's a little
it. Prop. Oh, my gosh.
And so I coach them, and then they get up, and they're like, hi. I'm Billy, and like to make movies.
Oh, wow.
And then we talk about it. So they have this moment where they're speaking in front of the class.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite part because it's like, oh my God, they're having a moment. And, you know, and maybe it's going to impact them some way.
Right. Oh my gosh.
You know?
I got chills from that. Because what a great way to introduce them to knowing who they are.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That is brilliant. I love that.
Yeah. My goal would be to, you know, have an assembly of many classes and have a real stage where kids could come up. Maybe there's a bunch of kids on the stage and a bunch of kids on the audience. And and so maybe the kids on the stage are the kids that checked off. Yeah, I'm not shy. I want to talk, you know, and then whatever. I don't know. I'll figure that out. But the point is that I can see it being even bigger than just a classroom.
I love
the classroom.
I went
to my grade school in Gladwin, Pennsylvania, and I read to two second grade classes. I was, when I tell you, when I walked in the building, I smelled it and I'm like, oh my God, I'm home.
Oh.
I loved that school so much. And then I saw a fourth grade class all lined up going outside with their teacher and they're all holding clipboards.
Oh my God.
My hands were full. All I wanted was like to get a picture of the line leaving the door with all the clipboards. I didn't get the photo, but I got the feeling. And that was such a welcome for me.
Wow.
Such a beautiful sign.
Yeah.
And then in a few weeks, I'm going to be reading at the school, that grammar school that my children attended in Glencoe, Illinois.
Wow.
And I'm doing 6 second grade classes back to back. So I'm there from 9 to 3.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to need a nap after.
It's like you're back to school.
I love it.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a Pied Piper with little kids. Like I'm the youngest of 3 girls and I don't have grandchildren, and I had children after my sisters, and I don't have grandchildren. They all have grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So I just latched onto their kids. I'm latching onto their kids' kids. I'm on Tutu. And I love my nieces who are obviously now old, and nephews. And and I, you know what, I ran a summer camp when I was 11 with my friend Margie. And this is in the 70s, so you could do stuff like this. So we decided we were going to run a summer camp out of her house. And we, you know, made flyers and sent it to everyone in the church. And they, and like, we would get kids, like, we would get like 20 kids a day.
Wow.
And it was just a, like a preschool age from not 9 a.m. to 11:30. And we would do circle time and arts and crafts and story time. And it was just, I loved it. And, you know, we couldn't do that today with all the litigious world that we live in, but we did it then. And it was so fun. We did it for like 4 years.
Wow.
And,
We never
named it anything because we didn't think like that. But it was probably my most enjoyable job I've ever had. I loved it.
That's amazing.
And so I'm kind of feeling like my work is bringing me back to that.
Yeah.
Because now I'm back with kids. And, you know, if I wasn't a TV producer, I probably would have been an elementary school teacher. But I'm really bad at math. And I'm like second grade math level, so I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Sally Lou, I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay, so do you think that being a former audience producer for the Oprah Winfrey Show and having your company Love Speaks gave you the inspiration to write this book to reach more people, especially children, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. When you work for a brand that is able to reach millions and millions of people, that never goes away, you know, because that, I love television, but what I really loved was changing people's day, changing people's heart.
Right.
This is a typical example. Whenever I traveled, which we did a lot, I would always look for people just, if they were having a hard day or if they were doing something extraordinary with their work or their job, or just unexpectedly give them Oprah tickets.
Mm.
And I can't even explain to you how much joy that brought me.
Wow.
And I don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
And so, and my kids always say, oh, Mom, I know you miss that. I'm like, I really do. So I try to light people up in other ways. Obviously, I can't give you Oprah show tickets. But when I was on the train the other day going into the city for a work thing that I was doing, not having nothing to do with the book, but I brought a couple books with me because I was giving it to the friends that hired me for this event. And there's a cute little girl that got on the train with her dad. She's five. And I'm like, oh my God. All I do is look at five-year-olds, four-year-olds, six-year-olds, seven-year-olds. And I tap the dad and I'm like, I'd love to give your daughter my book. I just wrote it. And he's like, thank you. Of course, I'm like, oh my God, I could be riding the trains from now until, you know, my books are all gone.
Oh my gosh.
So it just gave me that sense of like, oh, well, I guess this is the way I'm going to be doing it now. Yeah. This is how I'm going to reach out. This is how I'm going to change hearts. And it felt really good. It felt really sweet.
Yeah. And especially, you know, at a young age like that, what a great way to like introduce them to themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Introduce them to who they
that's
could
a
be.
Beautiful way to say it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that.
Beautifully said. Yeah. And we, you know, we all have our favorite books as children. And I know my children have their favorite books.
Right.
And those books really are an escape from the world that we live in. And it's your own private space to like feel the characters and feel yourself reflected in the characters. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, get to know yourself. So it's those things that really speak to your home, speak to yourself and what feels like home to you and what feels comfortable and safe. And so it is, the book is providing a safe space for kids to explore the fact that they have a voice and they can use it.
I love it. Okay, so Sally Lou, who would you credit now for where you are?
Oh, my dad, 100%. And I dedicate the book to my mom because my mom invited me to a television show and she also gave me my humor. And I think that there is no question, had I not seen the inside of a television studio, I may never have known a TV career could be for me. Mm-hmm. But my dad gave me my empathy and my heart and my deep love of impacting people, especially older people, children. My dad was a doctor and he worked, he was 100% a workaholic. He worked crazy hours. Every once in a while, maybe twice, maybe once, I just have a memory of going to the hospital with him when I was younger. And we'd walk the hallways like on a weekend and he'd do his rounds.
Right.
And everyone was like, Dr. Oaks, Dr. Oaks, Dr. And he'd ask everybody, you know, how are you? How can I help you? Do you need anything? How's your family? Like all the things. And I'm like, I know I can never be a doctor because, again, not good in math, not smart enough, and definitely not brave enough. But I wanted to do that thing that I saw him do magically, and I could weep just saying it. It was so... it came to him so easily.
Right,
and, you know, when I met Oprah, I was like, wow, she's like my father.
Oh.
She does. It comes to her so naturally. Yeah. I love this. And so I couldn't be a doctor because I had no interest and skills, but I could be that. And and so it was a combination of my mom showing me what I could be and my dad showing me what I could be. You know, it's the same thing. It's just two different ways.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But my dad, he guides me in everything I do. He passed away in 2015.
Oh, wow.
And I talk to him every day. Oh. I talk to him every day. I really don't miss him because I am with him. He's with me all the time.
Right.
I mean, I wish he was here, but like I have a full relationship with him.
I love that.
So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, are you happy with how the book turned out?
Yes, I am. And I want to speak about the phenomenal team at Mascot Kids, which is the publishing group that I that took me on. They are a hybrid self-publishing company, and they offer all the things that a traditional press would offer. And they're wonderful. But I self-published because I wanted to get it out and I didn't want to wait and someone tell me no. So I'm like, I want to do it because I have other books in me that would be a series, you know, Livy Lou loves to blank. It's there's so many things. And the other thing is that the illustrator who I was given, I don't know, maybe 40 people to look at that were illustrators that that mascot kids work with. And there was only one. I didn't want the like whimsical. Mm. I didn't want hard edges. What I wanted is exactly what you see in the book. Mm-hmm. And her name is Sirmali Bassani. She lives in Italy. We did it all by email. And, you know, I would send her pictures of I want Livy Lou to be on a DJ board. You know, like I had these ideas and I had, you know, who was in the classroom? Who's the teacher?
Right.
What does Livy Lou look like? I never asked her to have her look like me, but that girl looks like me.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I can't say enough about my illustrator. She's just so phenomenally talented and deserves a lot of accolades. So Sirmali Bassani.
Wonderful. So if anyone wanted to know more about you and your children's book, Livy Lou Lovely Loves to Speak, how would they go about it?
They would go to lovespeaks.com and click on books and it'll pop right up and you can see the audiobook where you can buy the audiobook. You see where you buy the book. You can buy it on Amazon, on Bookshop, on barnesandnoble.com and then Mascot Kids through their publishing site. And that's all on my lovespeaks.com website. And of course, people follow me at the Love Speaks Method, which is my Instagram. And that's where I spend most of my time. And the Love Speaks Method is my curriculum that I offer for adults to help them discover their story and connect with their story and write their story so that they can speak on stages without fear. And that's what I do when I'm not writing a children's book. I coach a lot of professionals to speak. And I love it. I love being in the coaching role as opposed to the one on the stage speaking. Mm-hmm. I do that too, but it's really fun to watch these incredibly gifted and successful people just really zone in on their story. And that's a unique skill that I have that absolutely was nurtured at the Oprah Winfrey Show. That you find, you know, producer's role is always like find the heart of the story. Mm-hmm. And when I find the heart, it's like, okay, that's where we're going to start. And every time the clients are like, is this therapy? I'm like, yes, it is.
It just benefits the whole world. That's all.
I hope so. I hope so.
I love it.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, Sally Lou, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would tell her to save her money. Stay connected to your career, even if you're taking a break. A lot of moms take a break from their career to have kids. Mm-hmm. And then when it's time that they want to go back, they've lost 10 years. I really think it's very important to do a side hustle or a freelance hustle while if you choose to stay home, because then you're on their radar and you haven't gone away completely. I think that's really important. I would also say don't take things personally. People are stressed. Everybody's got their own stuff. And it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
I love it.
Just get through the day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, Sally Lou, the last time you were on my show, I actually listened to it last night, and then this one quote actually got to me, which was what you said by Joseph Campbell: "The privilege."
Oh my gosh.
The privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. I love that because.
Yes.
That's your work. That is you.
That's it.
You know?
But that's it. But you know who it is Oprah. I mean, that's who introduced me to the quote, because we had quotes all over the building and you'd walk down halls and there'd be these beautiful quotes on the walls. And that's the one that always stopped me in my tracks. And I'm like, oh my God, that speaks to me in every way.
Yeah.
It is my favorite quote.
Oh my goodness.
That's it. We are who we are, and it's a privilege. And anyone who's trying to change who they are Great. Change for the better. That's great. But to not be yourself is the most exhausting thing one could ever do.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And by the way, going back to what I would say to myself, we're not for everyone. I'm not for everyone. You're not for everyone. Mm-hmm. Nobody is for everyone. There's always going to be people that are like, oh, God, she's on again. She's talking about herself again. She's this, that, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. And so those aren't your people, and that's okay.
Right.
I remember when the show was ending, it was 2011, and Oprah happened to be like coming down the hallway at this in the building at Harpo as I was. We were in the little cafe. And she's like, how are you doing? Like, how are you feeling about all this? You know, the end of the show and everything. And I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm not even sure people will like me after this show. Like, everybody liked me so much because I think I'm a likable person, obviously, but I also had like the golden ticket. Like, people loved me. And I overextended myself to so many people, strangers and loved ones and friends of friends and bosses of friends and people who, you know, were literally just begging to come. And that's shifted a lot. Like, a lot of those people have left my life and, you know, goes to show who they are. And you know, I'm still the same. I'm still the loudmouth, like, you know, pushing the love message, pushing the whatever message. And, but a lot of people have left, and that's okay, because I've got amazing people and it makes room for even better, wonderful people to come into your orbit.
Right.
But it is something to really, you know, when you are attached to a brand that everyone wants a piece of, you got a lot of friends, but then really? So I said those words, you got to be careful what you say in the universe. And I definitely experienced it. But anyway, it's an interesting thought.
As we age,
it never goes away. It's always there.
Well, oh my gosh, Sally Lou, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for saying yes again to be on my show.
Thank you for asking.
Oh my gosh, I love your book. And please, people, whoever's listening, please get it for your kids. It is a beautiful book about empowerment and about owning your voice and speaking your voice. You know, it's a beautiful book. I love the messages.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And it's a great message for adults, too.
So,
I did an event yesterday with all adults.
Oh, wow.
And it was just as good as if they were, well, it's always better with the kids, but it was just as impactful, I should say. It was very impactful.
Right.
Because we all have it. This is not an age-related thing.
Right,
It's every age, every stage, every age.
Right.
But this obviously is my message that can be specific to kids.
Well, I thank you for writing the book, this beautiful book.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see what's next with you. And, you know, oh my gosh, congratulations on the book. And I really hope that it takes off. And it inspires so many girls and boys and, you know, everybody.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Because I've got a lot more books in me and I need to make this one work so that I can write the other one.
I love it. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tess.
You are so
have
welcome.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
And thanks for having me on.
Okay, All right. A great day.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Sally Lou Loveman on RevWoman.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note, I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break from being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.